TTF 256 TTF 256 TTF 256 TTF 256. TTF on 256 and Hankins. It's only episode 3 and I'm so excited to have some current events to talk about.
Ooh, and buddy, do we have some current events.
We are recording at 5:38 p.m. Central Time. Monday, February 7th. Brian Harsin is still the football coach at the loveliest village on the plains.
I assume he's also still on vacation. So good for him.
He's no longer there. He's not there, but he's still the coach there. Let's get into it. Hankins, are you able to kind of recap everything that's been going on? Because I'm starting to lose track. And again, our disclaimer to Alabama fans, we're not here to pile on.
I refuse.
We would be talking about this if this were any other school.
We're going to talk about the Alabama thing later. Yes. We're going to make sure to give that equal time I think it was very fortunate for that university that this thing happened because
I've got some jokes about Nia Golding.
So if we go back a little bit, it would probably start with defensive coordinator Derek Mason leaving for the NFL, and then. The offensive coordinator they had just hired, right?
Yeah.
That guy was a new hire.
Like, literally weeks prior.
Yeah, he leaves 3 weeks after he gets there, stating, I got to go home and be with my family.
Which is, I mean, very interesting. It's
the old Urban Meyer flu.
Yeah, sure.
And then after that, you get some noise around social media that the players were a little disgruntled with how they were treated by head coach Brian Harsin.
Which was tweeted by a former player?
Yes, a player that just entered the transfer portal.
And that tweet was immediately liked by about 19 other
current players. Yeah. And you had, I think, 18 players in the transfer portal since he's been there?
Yes, 18
the
end of the year.
I don't think that, that's not a stat in my book.
18's a lot, I think.
18's a lot, but also he's a new coach. He probably didn't recruit a lot of the guys that did train. There's a lot of reasons that's not.
Yeah, so
his landing on him.
Eight.
And then there's the big one, Shawnee. And for legal purposes.
Allegedly.
There was an alleged affair between the coach and a female coach that he had hired that had come with him from Boise State. That's all alleged, but that was sort of the gas on the simmering fire that brought this thing to a boil over the last couple of days. Let me just say this. I'm going to say this, and I'll leave this subject alone. Y'all are awful. You're awful.
Who is y'all?
You are the reason. Y'all, the male demographic 18 to 49 that populates social media, y'all are awful. A, you're unoriginal.
Yeah.
I saw the same 6 jokes repeated with just a couple of words moved around. Mm-hmm. Yes, the woman is an attractive woman. Mm-hmm. However, y'all are going a little too far to say that. And again, you're awful and you're the reason I can't enjoy the internet. I'm probably going to come in here a little salty because I've been reading Auburn Twitter for 3 days now. It is not good.
Also,
nor would Alabama's be. State or LSU's or anyone else's, but I've particularly been reading Auburn Twitter.
Also, I'm not going to even pretend to say that we would ever convince anybody otherwise, but to change their behavior, especially on the internet, but it's a 21-year-old human being that, she's probably going to have PTSD for the rest of her life.
And look, I am not a good person.
No, me either.
I say a lot of bad things in the private company of my friends.
I usually laugh at myself.
I'm not on a high horse here. But what I don't do is say it where other people can read it, especially the person that I'm talking about.
That's what you...
Not to mention... to mention, in the current time that we live in, it should have been kind of celebrated that Auburn had a woman coaching on the football staff. She's not the only one by far in the conference and all the stuff. But come on, boys. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not asking you to change your behavior in real life, because that's the thing I have to work on too. But we can shut the fat fuck up on the internet. We can do that. That is not too much to ask. Or, if you want to get some jokes off, focus on the other myriad of places to make those jokes about this situation.
All I know is about 2 years ago, one guy was kicked off Twitter and my blood pressure was cut in half. So, if we could get back to... So obviously, the alleged affair, which has been, denied, of course, by Harsin, the alleged object of his affection. And, man, that's an outdated
one. One other thing I want to let, and I'll let you get on with this. Like, I've read a lot of jokes. I've read a lot of he did it. But I haven't read any actual reporting around. There's no evidence that I have seen at all.
Well, reporting doesn't exist anymore. That's one thing you have to keep in mind.
So, okay. All right. I think I've cleared the air on, without getting on a soapbox too long about how I feel about that. But yeah, like, strictly football speaking, this is a slam dunk of a firing if they just wanted to.
Yeah. And so all of this, and again, that's been denied by the woman, the head coach, and of course the head coach's wife. This all culminates with a tweet from Auburn basically saying, we're looking at this, we're doing an internal investigation. We're not going to litigate this on social media, which of course.
Yeah.
The decision.
They're definitely litigating it on social media.
So
like the wording of that release was clearly, we're litigating this on social media.
Tell us what you feel in the comments below.
Like, hit that bell.
Now, of course, the second that we
hit that bell for to find out what president goes to,
the second we stop recording, they're gonna fire him or announce that they're
cheating. They're firing him right now while we're talking. So this is all moot.
But let's kind of move.
It's like everybody that was wondering about if Tom Brady was going to retire or not, and it was happening as everyone was saying.
Let's move backwards in this situation. We talked about that the alleged affair. Now, going back to like the 18 players that have left. 10 of those have been on the defensive line, which certainly is going to be felt next year. But, you look at, some of the players, it could have been 19, but Tank Bigsby decided to...
Tank.
And they basically got, they got rid of Bo Nix, which, I mean, if I'm an Auburn fan, I'm a fan of that as well.
That's a net...
But they picked nine. They picked up half of the quarterbacks last year who beat Alabama, and
they did do that.
and a redshirt sophomore from Oregon. That's kind of a push, if not advantage Harsin on that.
Well, but no, I think you have the coordinator stuff is bad. Like
it is
Derek Mason, very not bad. So much. Like that's a regular day in the SEC when you hire a former.
Yeah.
NFL player, former head coach. That's going to happen. Nothing. The offensive coordinator thing is not good, especially when the offense struggled the way it did last year.
Yes.
And couple that with the fact, and this is not a real thing because recruiting has changed. Like National Signing Day doesn't mean really anything anymore.
True.
But I don't think they got a single commit on National Signing Day.
They did not do well in state nationally. They ended up with the 18th ranked team, which is not bad, but when your top two recruits are number two and three, and number one is also in your division, that 18 looks a little,
looks a lot worse.
Not so good.
I said a lot of bad stuff about a lot of bad feelings that this whole thing gave me just in the nature of how we react to these things. I will say a positive thing that this did for me. A lot of the social media talk is about booster culture. And boy, did that make me happy. Because, not because I think, tear down the system, the boosters are ruining the game. Sure. That ain't the world I live in. I'm old. And I come from a time where I knew all the big boosters. I knew Jimmy Louder and there's a Reigns, I think. Bobby Louder, Jimmy Reigns. And that guy, Logan, whatever, got threw down them stairs in Memphis. Like
He was murdered, by the way. He didn't fall down some stairs.
Fell down some stairs in Memphis. But like all that was nostalgia to me. Like, yes, this is my SEC. This is what I want. The good old boys slugging it out in the background for recruits. And they're like, dude, they looked at that 18 and said, no, we ain't going to do it no more.
And of course, if, by the way, Fell Down Some Stairs in Memphis is definitely the opening line to a Hank Williams Jr. song.
Or Spoon.
Dispassionately Drummed in Memphis. The Spoon... musicography. Anyway, I mean, you know, they start off 6-2. They lose the last five games of the season. They don't really sign they don't sign anybody, you know, on actual national signing day, which, you know, we said is a little bit less stressed because we have, you know, early signing day months prior. But it's pretty clear that, you know, all of this stuff is coming out because he's There's an attempt to push him out.
Like the...
Because people with money and influence don't like him.
The affair news itself is sort of the smoking gun, in my opinion, for that. Like, I believe if this was coach they wanted to keep, that story doesn't get out. Or it is not amplified in the way that it was amplified.
I do have...
Somebody don't want this dude here.
And I do have a question, so... If this is not true, then there are, and I'm not assigning this uniquely to Auburn. You know, we talk about, I'm sure there are people just like this, if not more nefarious, in Tuscaloosa and across the country. However, if this affair story is not true, then there is a truly evil individual, at least one, making up this story, trying to ruin a marriage, trying to ruin a young woman's life. Just to get rid of a coach who underperformed in his first year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what to do with that. This is a thought experiment.
I clap. I don't like how we treated that woman on the internet, but the idea of boosters being so batshit crazy that they will plan a story or, you know, take some tidbits that they might know about and with no evidence. Yeah, I'm here for that kind of bonkers nuts stuff. That's the stuff I grew up on. I ain't saying it's good, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I want to root for the Ivy League in college football.
Yeah, of course.
I live by one simple rule in football. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. So go.
Don't get caught.
Go and do. And likewise, if Harrison had gone 10-2 last year and beat either Georgia or Alabama, we wouldn't be hearing about any of this stuff. That's my college football.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
It's crazy. Now, here's the thing. I'm gonna dip a toe into the
big game.
Not the big game. Not yet. I'm so scared I'm going to slip up and call it that other word. I'm going to dip a toe into maybe angering the Auburn fans as an Alabama fan.
Please.
But I'll say this. And again, we've done this in another incarnation of podcast. A lot of what I say about Auburn when I get worked up has more to do with the fact that Auburn has accepted their current position rather than fought against it. That is what
current position of
being this roller coaster of 8-4.
Yeah.
That thing, and just being clearly second in the state on a national stage
for now. You know, I mean,
for now, like, but they have, but like, so
because in those other iterations of the podcast, you know, you also suggested that Tennessee. I'm really turning up the heat on you right now, Hankins. You also suggested that Tennessee basically just wait out Nick Saban before they put any effort into
it. Tennessee should just wait out Nick Saban because Tennessee doesn't matter at all. At all. Tennessee doesn't matter, has rarely ever mattered, and anytime we start to look back on this, great, like, no, come on, dude, Tennessee? And that is exactly my point. I don't want Auburn to turn into Tennessee.
Yeah.
I think they should expect better than that.
Sure.
I think they are a better football program than that. And a lot of what I saw last night was, yeah, we stand behind Harrison. We stand behind him. He's going to, like, even if none of this happens, if none of the crazy affair stuff, and it, take all that away, that dude ain't the dude who's going to get you to where Alabama, to where you were in 2010, to where you were in 2013. That dude ain't taking you to no championship game.
No.
It ain't happening with that guy. Now, if they want to believe that that guy, if he gets everybody out of the program and he basically Sabins it up and like, this is my way or the highway, y'all get out of here, let me do my stuff. Same thing Kirby seems to have done at Georgia and all that. Even if he does that, he ain't got it to go into people's rooms and get 5 stars.
Yeah.
He showed us that for 2 years.
Sure.
Like, and Auburn has not necessarily lived off that plate. Tommy Tuberville's greatest thing was he'd go turn a 3 into a 5.
Right.
But I don't think Harrison's that either. Like, I don't think you see that fall that they had last year to that degree if he's the guy that I would want leading my football program if I'm Auburn.
Yeah, I mean, there might be some truth to, you know, the story from, you know, what the former player who transferred tweeted and then every other former players agreed with. If, you know, how does the bottom drop out like that when you're 6-2? Because it's not, you're not even midseason. You're two thirds the way through.
No.
Especially if you're counting at least one
week. And for all this to happen after that Iron Bowl, where they're a play away from beating Alabama.
Not going for two really hurt them too, I think.
Right. It was an ugly, awful Iron Bowl for both sides.
Yeah.
Like just a poorly played, poorly executed Iron Bowl.
Right.
But I would venture that if we played that game 10 times, Alabama wins 9 out of 10, and they're not, and that one is the outlier.
Sure.
I would imagine they look a little worse in most cases. So again, I will say to Auburn, don't accept this.
Yeah.
This is not your role. This has never been your role. You've been little brother, quote unquote, but like you weren't. Because you always punched Alabama right in the nose, and you never ran and told either. You stood up and you punched us right in the mouth. And you can do that to everybody.
Sure.
With the right equipment. And when y'all was out here spending money like you was supposed to be, buying Cam Newton, you was rocking and rolling. Get in them pockets and spend a little bit. What are we doing? I hate them, but I don't want to. I hate them, but I don't disrespect them. Don't accept this, Auburn. Get this bum out of here.
Going from the Tigers to the Tigers. Let's talk about some Tigers that are doing a little bit better in the big game, huh? The big game.
Oh my God! Bengals, my big man crush, Joe Shiesty,
that beat my Niners.
My God, I love Joe Burrow too much.
I do too.
I love him too.
Good
much.
For him, man. You know what? Good for him. Show me that picture of him smoking that cigar.
Smoke that cigabug, son. He whooped us. He beat me. He beat the respect into me. And then when he got on that stuff, and like, this is not a normal Hankins. I'm usually not moved by anything sentimental at all. Mm-hmm. When that kid won that Heisman Trophy after not being good enough to play at Ohio State, having to transfer.
And had a pretty rough 2018.
Absolutely.
At LSU.
Absolutely did. And persevered, and he gets his Heisman Trophy, and the thing he says is, this is for starving kids in Ohio.
Hell yeah.
And goes to Cincinnati and gets that, drags that bunch to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, no, man, I can't help. And he wore that boss-ass jacket and that chain.
Yeah. It's a good story. Also, I just dislike the Rams, and I hope their gamble to mortgage their future fails as spectacularly as the San Francisco 49ers will in a couple of years.
I would love it to happen, but it's going to be tough sledding for my boy Joe Shiesty. If the Titans sacked him 9 times, Aaron Donald might sack him 9 times alone, and that's not even factoring in Von Miller.
Yeah, they're going to have to.
They should have drafted Penei Sewell. Wait for that narrative to change so quickly.
Oh, my God.
Everybody's like, oh, the drafting Jamar Chase was a great gamble. And it was. And it was the right move. Of course. And they wouldn't be in the Super Bowl. But as soon as they get destroyed by that defensive line in the big game, it will turn quickly into, ah, man, if they had a left tackle. What's Larry Tunstall doing? Is Larry Tunstall up to anything?
Well, he's got to get the right mask on first.
Well,
so you're rooting for the Bengals in the big game. Who do you think's going to win?
I think the Rams will win.
Based on that defense you just talked about.
Based on football. Like, there are no football reasons that the Bengals should win this game. None. Like, if you look at the line, at the matchups, the Rams have a weapon that can stop Jamar Chase. You know, Jalen Ramsey is the best cornerback in the league. Their weakness on offense is the offensive line. That is the strength of the Rams defense. The only real reasons that the Bengals can win is if Sean McVay does a Sean McVay and just gets super weird in a big game, which he can. He can get super weird.
I mean, the 49ers beat him twice this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know who's going to guard Cooper Kupp.
I don't know how you lose one game with that roster.
I don't know. I mean, the only thing they could that make this good is if ODB goes to Miami, puts on a pair of Timberlands, ride a boat. That's the only thing that can stop them. And I don't think that can stop
them.
I hope not. I hope I'm wrong. I wish
ODB was playing wide out instead of OBJ.
I've never called him OBJ. It's always been ODB. Because Odell Beckham.
I prefer to call him Big Baby Jesus. well, let's that's pretty much it. That's all we got on the pros.
No.
On the pros.
Oh, yeah.
So let's go back to college ball and take our own medicine here. I had no idea. I'm thankful, let me just say, but I had no idea Doug Marrone was on his way out until we hired Alabama hired the Kentucky offensive line coach.
I was quite frankly shocked that Doug Marrone was still there when he was there. I assumed all of them leave as soon as the last game is played. Like, I just, like, that's just part of the deal. Like, get out.
Hired by anybody else, to my knowledge. And I guess, like, I don't know if this was his first year, right?
I believe
he was the head coach of the Carolina Panthers before Urban Meyer was hired.
Mm-hmm. Jacksonville.
Yes, Carolina Panthers. Jeez. Yeah, both blue, then both on the coast.
Came in the league same time.
Yeah, exactly. But
Trevor Lawrence.
So I don't know. I guess.
We're so used to it that it does not even register.
But no, I'm saying it's weird because it doesn't say like he left of his own volition. He was fired. Obviously, he was like, I think it was just they met and they both agreed, hey, it's best that you get the hell out of here.
And I mean, he probably looked around and said, well, there seems to be 8 open NFL jobs. I can probably just go get one. If I just show up at somebody's facility, they'll just give me a job. I've got all the qualifications. Did this before, lost enough to get fired, have a certain look.
I don't look like Brian Flores. on top of that, Saban is coaching, up there in his press conference after National Signing Day, and he's having to answer questions like, I don't think Bill O'Brien's trying to leave. But I mean, everybody just assumes.
Which broke my heart.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I'm not exactly, you know, losing any sleep over Marrone or Bill O'Brien leaving. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I don't think Bryce Young is either. And I know that offensively, Brockmeyer is going to be a starter next year on the offensive line, and I bet he is just, you know, elated that Doug Marrone is not going to be there.
Yeah, and the reason I think we just assumed O'Brien would go because I did assume he'd get one of those vacant jobs. Like, but that's the process.
Yeah,
you can't say trust the process when it's going great and then immediately be like, whoa!
Yeah,
no, that's the process.
Yeah.
You go to Nick Saban's rehabilitation finishing school for a year, and then you're as long as you're not Lane Kiffin who has to go prove his character reputation,
yeah,
you're out of there. You're back on where you want to be in a year's time. So I'm a little surprised in both cases that, well, I'm not surprised that Marone's gone. I'm surprised he didn't get snapped up already.
Yeah.
But I just assumed O'Brien would get one of the, like, that dude was the head coach and GM. He wasn't good at it.
No, he wasn't.
But that doesn't matter in the NFL. No. Like, you don't have to be good at it.
Also, you know, got Penn State through, let's say, a difficult
time. He did, yeah. Like, I am shocked that that guy got to hang around. I didn't want him to.
And then if that weren't enough, the piece de resistance, the coup d'etat.
Pete de resistance.
The cherry on the shit sundae. Pete Golding decided to tie a few on and get behind the wheel.
Celebrating his big recruiting class, looking at all them. All he said, I'm going to have a drink for every star I recruited. And that was like 95 of them. And so, next thing you know, old Pete's driving home, drunk as a skunk, high as a giraffe's ass, and now
he's was he high too?
Goose Scout. I just like to say high as a giraffe's ass. How on life?
High.
How on, if I'm Pete, like, okay, I need to do some qualifications around
qualifications.
What I'm about to say. Eucalyptus. All right. Here's the thing. I don't ever like to get on this microphone and criticize someone like I've never done the bad thing that I'm going to criticize them for. Have I driven a car when I shouldn't have? Yes, I am guilty of it. I'm not proud of it, but I'm guilty of it.
Sure.
So here's what I'm going to say about that. We all know why drinking and driving is bad. Mm-hmm. We all know it. So just assume that I said all those things before I say these things.
The official stance of Throw the Flag on 256 today
on 256,
is...
don't drink and drive. Mm-hmm. Because you can kill people mm-hmm. who aren't you. If you kill yourself, that's
and if you live alone and your only friend is a dog, imagine not coming home.
What he said, that has no meaning to me. But... on top of all those things, if your defense has given up the most points out of all of the last three or four people who have held that position, if you're before the Pete Golding era, the defense of Alabama has rarely ever been called into question. And if we look at the last couple years, all we've done is question that defense. You've already, and you also know, your head coach can call any of 50 people who have probably been NFL defensive coordinators and head coaches and have your spot filled before your seat is cold.
And your head coach is a defensive guy.
Head coach is a defensive guy and sure as shit don't want no bad press.
No.
None. The process. Pete Golding, you make seven figures a year to be below average at your job. And you can't, this is, drinking and driving now, especially in his position, is so much different because you can't open your phone without there being somebody wanting to come take you somewhere.
Yeah. Oh.
And I know I'm not breaking new ground, but that is, it is that cliche at this point. Pete Golding, what are you thinking?
Yeah. Also, like, I mean, you can get an Uber, dog.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's so many apps on his phone. Is lousy with apps.
Don't you get like driven?
Lousy with.
Can't you get just driven around?
Call a freshman. Like, what are we doing? There are graduate assistants.
And you know what? It's not like
call the police.
I mean, Henry Ruggs. Henry Ruggs literally showed us the.
Oh God, I didn't even make that. I didn't even make that comparison to right now where they literally had a guy from that program kill people and is going to spend decades in jail, rightfully so. Yeah. But for that very thing, now was Pete Golding driving 150? No, I don't know,
probably not.
I'm assuming he wasn't, but still,
yeah.
Pete, that's just a completely avoidable risk. for Pete Golden, oh, defensive coordinator of Alabama. Like, that is... Call Nick Saban! Call Nick Saban! Coach, I'm drunk. My phone is broke. I can't call an Uber. I'll call Cedric, get in and pull my truck around. And I'll be down there to get you.
Cedric.
Like, what? They'll send Cedric! They'll send Cedric! There's a guy on staff to handle these kinds of things.
It's just...
You work at a football factory with infinite resources. Pete!
Come on, man.
Pete! If I can't appeal to your sense of right and wrong, Pete, let me at least appeal to your sense of keeping your damn job. Pete! I'll show you my text. There's 200 of them in there. Once a Saturday that just say, fire Goldie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There was definitely, I remember Saban's daughter having to take to Twitter to defend Pete Golding during the Ole Miss game in 2020. Because everybody was calling for his head. But, yeah.
Just dumb.
So, I think it's safe to say that the most stable coaching staff in the state of Alabama is being run by first-year head coach and 2001 Grissom High School graduate John Summerall over at Troy.
256 represent.
Hell yeah. congratulations, John.
They run a tight ship. Don't hear no guff about them. They'll beat somebody they're not supposed to every year. Mm-hmm. They're doing just fine down there.
And you know what? The future's only looking brighter under first-year coach John Summerall.
I mean, somehow Josh Gattis was the assistant coach of the year this year. That's a thing that happened?
So weird. Can we actually go back?
Brian Daboll just got hired by the Giants? That's a thing that happened?
None of those high. It is a weird coaching carousel this year for the NFL.
The most boring. Like, the whole coaching carousel, like, outside of Lincoln Riley and Cristobal, like, that's about...
I don't know. Like, the college, I mean, and we'll probably get to this in a later one, but, you know, you had Orgeron leave, you had Brian Kelly leave Notre Dame, you know, you had...
Nobody care about no Brian Kelly leaving no Notre Dame.
Gary Patterson retires... Clay Helton finally gets fired at USC.
If I had asked you...
John Summerall gets hired at Troy.
Any time over the last 3 years, did Gary Patterson retire? You'd be like,
Well, he has all those statues. Oh, no, that's...
That's not Gary Patterson. That's David Cutcliffe. David Cutcliffe got fired! Like, it's just... Like, other than Lincoln Riley, I don't think any of it was...
Well, I will disagree with you on college, but in the pros, you have a bunch of coordinators so far get hired. So that aside from the Texans hiring Lovie Smith today,
that's the most. Gang. I need you to go with me on this. Everybody, relax. I'm gonna say something here that I need you guys to be ready for. Uh-oh. I am black.
Oh, God.
So, I know that's going to come as a shock to a lot of you. And I'm going to talk about this NFL coaching business. It's okay. I'm not going to say any of the buzzwords that are going to scare you. I'm not. Because I can't change any of that. Your opinion is already your opinion. And you know what? We're just going to agree to agree or disagree. That's all fine. Here's what I want to say. Brian Flores, what have you done to me? Because of you, Brian Flores, Jim Harbaugh is still going to be at Michigan.
That's what I'm saying, man. That's the most exciting thing that happened in this coaching carousel.
If he waits like 3 weeks.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
Harbaugh is at Miami.
Hell yeah, he is.
The whole story is, why did Harbaugh take the Minnesota interview? It was just a dog. Do you know the backstory of that Miami?
With Flores or?
No, with strictly speaking with Harbaugh.
Oh, no. I only know that he interviewed with the Vikings.
Stephen Ross, owner of the Dolphins.
Stand-up comedian. Oh, okay. Yep.
When they fire Blind Flores.
Blind.
Blind Brian Flores.
It's like a, when they, it's like a blues musician.
It's like a cool blues man.
Blind Lemon Lipschitz.
When they fire Brian Flores, everybody assumes, oh, Harbaugh to Miami because Stephen Ross is a Michigan man and like literal friends with Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. Like hangs out with him. They're snug as a bug in a room. Mm-hmm. Stephen Ross puts out the statement, I know what everybody's thinking, but I couldn't be the man that pulled Jim Harbaugh away from Michigan. Mm. I won't do it.
So he hates Michigan.
Magic. So,
and by the way, if you ask Rich Eisen, his feelings were basically the same.
Yeah, they all sleep in a sleeping bag together. Yeah, they go
actually, they probably have before.
Yes. So a couple weeks after that, Harbaugh takes the Vikings interview. 50 minutes the first one or so, and then 9 hours the second time.
Right.
And then turns the job down. The day before he turns the job down, the Flores thing breaks.
Right.
If the Flores thing doesn't break, Harbaugh turns down that Minnesota job. And then Stephen Ross is not the man pulling, or Harbaugh doesn't turn down the Vikings job.
Yeah.
He's just interviewing for it. But then Stephen Ross is not the man pulling Harbaugh away from Michigan.
Pulling him away from Minnesota.
He's the man pulling him away from the Vikings.
Sure.
Harbaugh to Miami. I never have to hear about him again. It's over. Immediately the comparisons go to him and Saban. Can Jim Harbaugh do it? Nick Saban didn't. No, he can't. Because his quarterback is a bum. And I get everything I
want. As a 49ers fan, I am extremely glad to see Mike McDaniel leave to go to Miami. So
he'll get to suffer that loss. Then Harbaugh will get
I'll take it. This reality.
He'll get it the next go round when they have drafted whoever the freshman quarterback standout this year is,
yeah.
And they will have a hotshot new quarterback. He'll get everything he wants. All because Flores put that lawsuit out when he did.
We need to talk about the greatest part of what is clearly an awful situation. But, you know, I forget if it was this incarnation of the podcast or if it was a previous conversation. But just like when, oh boy, this is controversial.
Whoa.
Just like the NFL and really society, basically, after we threw Michael Vick in jail and we dusted our hands off and said, well, we took care of the dogfighting problem.
Mm-hmm.
We forced John Gruden out and then we mm-hmm. dusted our hands off and said, we don't need to read those other 28,000 emails. We got all the racists by John Gruden stepping down. Like, the funniest part of all this, without a doubt, is Bill Belichick texting the wrong Brian.
It is so ridiculous.
It is so funny.
But here's what I don't like. One of two things.
His glass, his Walgreen readers down at like the bridge of his nose.
On his nose. Just looking at his phone, like he's pulling out. He's got his nose all scrunched up. Either that's true, or Bill Belichick is the most manipulative, conniving mastermind that ever was.
Oh my God.
I want the second one to be true because I don't want to think about doddering old Bill Belichick. I don't want that. I don't want that thought. I want to
believe that. He does that knowing all of his racist emails were sent from like BillyB@gmail.com.
Or like the world I want to live in is Brian Flores gets fired.
Sure.
And then, so look, again, I'm going to dance around this topic because I know that ain't what people came here for.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of that out there, and I get it. And again, we're not changing anybody's mind.
Right.
If I'm offended by anything in all of this, it is the smear campaign that happened after Flores got fired initially, when people just said, hey, wait, we were almost in the playoffs. Yeah. It's a tough year.
Had a crazy winning streak.
Right. We started like 0-5 and then went like 8 in a row. Like, what are we doing here? And then you find out they wanted him. They are alleged to have wanted him to lose. Like, we're going to pay him to lose, all that stuff.
All of a sudden, so, you find out he brought a cheerleader from Boise State
with him. Brought him with him. And so after that initial groundswell from the people, then it's out. Oh, Brian Flores was tough to work with. He didn't want to listen. Like, a smear campaign happened. Can those things that the Dolphins said about him be true? Absolutely, they can. 100%. They might all be true. But is it necessary to say those things?
I don't know. I feel the same way about what they did to poor Katherine Heigl after she left Grey's Anatomy.
What you said about that show I've never seen. So I want to believe Bill Belichick sees that and says, huh, that's one of my guys.
Yeah.
Like, that guy's from my tree. He coached here. He called the greatest defensive play in Super Bowl history, the Malcolm Butler interception. That's Flores calling that play. Yep. That's go, Malcolm, go. That's him calling that play. That's all that stuff. I would just love to believe that conniving, mean, Armani secret suit wearing Bill Belichick gets the notice that Flores is interviewing for the Giants job in 2 days, and then gets on the phone and says, hey, who are the Giants going to hire? Oh, they're hiring Daboll. And he looks at his phone and is like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What if I just texted Brian right now? Congratulations on the job. That's the world I want.
Yeah, I mean, it probably also doesn't help that, like, you know, your in division rival also.
Bill Belichick ain't got no love for no dog. No. I can tell you that. Like, no. No siree, Bob. Like, probably don't like how they handled his good friend Nick Saban's departure.
Sure.
Like, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of bullets in the Bill Belichick shoots at Dolphins chamber.
Doesn't like sunshine or smiles.
Hate, without question, hates both of those things. Probably isn't a fan of that fancy-ass coffee they got down there. He don't want no coffee seat, though.
Imagine Nick Saban succeeding in Miami and building a home there. That just does not work.
Terry Saban would have left his ass. There would have been an ultimatum. Nick, it's me or this city. One of the two. I do it. I am so tired of getting cocaine in my scarves just from walking outside. I'm out of here.
He's wearing a pastel blazer with a t-shirt, and the sleeves are rolled up to the elbows.
I'm going.
Huey Lewis just, in the news is playing in the back.
Just South Beach Saban on his boat playing the theme to Miami Vice on a loudspeaker.
You know what? Like, that is just as crazy as what actually happened.
I saw, was it 14 years ago today, Julio Jones signs with Alabama. And to this, look, guys, you're going to hear me over the course of this podcast give my old co-host here a lot of guff. You're going to hear me say mean, mean things about him. And they're all going to be true.
Yeah. Well,
but I tell the truth on this podcast, and that scraggly beard joker looked me right in the face when Julio Jones signed with Alabama. Yeah. And he said, this is it, dude. This is big. This is big.
We were sitting next to each other.
The same thing about Star Jackson.
And probably Phil Sims. Philip Sims.
And I was trying to think of Philip Sims, and I couldn't get there, but he said the same thing.
And probably Blake Barnett.
But he absolutely said that.
Well, you shoot at anything that moves, you're bound to hit something.
About Quintavious Julio Jones, Quintarius Julio Jones. He did say it.
Well, I think we've, covered the, who knew there'd be, you know, this much non-on-the-field news.
And next week we probably got a new Auburn coach to preview. So that's exciting. The Saints just hired somebody named Dennis Allen. That's a person.
Their own defensive coordinator.
Absolutely.
And again, Lovie Smith is once again.
Lovie's Texan watch 2023, baby. Oh, here we come.
Hey, I
can't wait.
Hey, what do you think I'm wearing right now, baby? The Texans jersey.
When Lovie Smith gets Deshaun Watson to the Super Bowl. Oof, my goof. Boy, we're going to have to do some gymnastics around that
one. This has been episode 3 of Throw the Flag on 256 Today.